Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Horrible Influence. We've got a new setup today, so hopefully we've worked all the bugs out for the past weeks. As always, we're going to bring you the latest news that we find interesting that you're probably not going to find anywhere else. And hopefully you do a little research on your own. If you find anything wrong, please correct us, because that's what we're here for, is to learn. Tyler, you want to kick us off this week? I know you've been reading up on some interesting Death Squad stuff.
Let's talk about Halloween for a minute. Cedar Point was pretty dope for the few minutes that we were there.
Yeah, as far as pretty dope, it was probably the worst thing that you could have experienced Halloween wise, but the rides were cool.
The rides were super rad, but anything that was like Halloween entailed was a complete an utter failure. Those haunted houses were the worst.
You didn't like the children with Walmart masks?
No.
That would break character instantly if you just talked to them?
Yeah.
I can't help but talk to people either. So the guys, oh, welcome. Oh, hey. Oh, hey, man. Oh, all right. That was that easy.
Pleasure meeting you, sir. The exit is this way. Well, thank you.
Yeah. How long did you wait in line? An hour and a half. How long is this thing? About 3 seconds.
Yeah. Oh. Give or take.
Yeah, you can see the back door. But still had a blast. The rides were cool. It was unseasonably warm. I say unseasonably. It was warm for Ohio at any point of the year.
Yeah, the rain held off like just well enough to not be a complete annoyance.
Just long enough to
spend $15 on a fucking cheeseburger.
Just the worst cheeseburger I've ever had, for us to walk out and go, oh, we should leave, and then drove past, I don't know, eight
every
restaurants.
Every restaurant, yeah.
On the way out. Oh, well. Still a good time. It was a lot better than sitting in this hotel room for another holiday.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely getting old. But, yeah, man, after our last episode, one of my buddies, Mike, sent me an article about the AI revolution, which turned out to be much longer than I thought it was going to be. So been reading that, and it's pretty interesting. Everything's going to either go really well or everyone's going to die. That's pretty much, it seems like it falls on like very polar opposites.
Yeah, one of the two extremes.
Like it seems like it's going to be one or the other. There's people in different camps, but real interesting hearing them talk about like we think that we have AI now, and it really is, that's the base level of AI. Like what they have laid out is artificial narrow intelligence is the base level artificial intelligence. And that is your cars, your phones, like your GPS, shit like that, like Google with,
So really just advanced pattern recognition.
Yeah, absolutely. And like even down to your email spam filter is considered a narrow artificial intelligence. So it's just like it's a pre-programmed thing. So a game that is really good at playing chess, all it can do is play chess. So that is like a narrow artificial intelligence. And then it moves on to like the artificial general intelligence, and that's a strong AI, and that's human level, and it's as smart as a human across the board.
It's able
to,
how
do they explain it,
take a problem and figure out the best way, not just analyze. Like it's able to form a personal opinion.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the big thing with general intelligence, or artificial general intelligence, AGI as they call it. The ability to, what did they say, reason, plan, solve problems, think abstractly, which is fucking crazy to think about, comprehend complex ideas. It can learn, and it learns from experience, too. So it's
not just learn from input data. It's what it does. It says, oh, I liked that, so I'll do more of that.
Yeah, correct. And that, that kind of leads into like one of the ways that they plan on making the next step, which is artificial superintelligence. And they think that they can use AGI. There's a few methods that they're trying to create AGI, or rather artificial superintelligence. They're trying to get to the point where they can create AGI and then use that intelligence to start making itself better.
Yeah, we can't make it, so we'll just make something that can make it, and that's no way going to turn out bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, there's two camps on the whole thing. Like the idea of exponential growth comes up countless times in the article. The dude's name who wrote it is Tim Urban, and the dude did a killer job of breaking down in a more simplistic manner of like how somebody like me could understand like what's going on and stuff like that. And the crazy thing is with the exponential growth, like once we make it the best that we can and then it learns how to make itself better, our hands are off at that point. We can't do anything at that point because it already knows more than we do. And if it takes itself 10 years to make itself better, then maybe the following time it takes itself 15 minutes to make itself better. And then the time after that, it just takes seconds and then fractions of seconds until it's just skyrocketing.
What's the law that technology advances times two every...
That's Moore's law. And that's good to bring up too, because with your... what you covered about quantum computing, that's going to be... because that's coming to an end. Moore's law is coming to an end because they can't get... I believe it's processor size... they're almost to their minimum for processor size. And once it hits that point, then I sounds like it's just going to plateau off. But if they achieve quantum computing, then
that... So they believe Moore's law is going to end where technology doesn't grow faster, it actually grows slower?
If we
unless
continue
we
on...
take a new step.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct.
See, when I heard that these guys talking about it ending, I automatically assumed that it meant that it was going to go faster. Like that they thought, which it could, I guess, we could, just as a timeline, like if this is a script written, we're going to reach the end of traditional computing. So obviously we're going to move into the next state, like quantum computing. Or I couldn't imagine that there's ever a possibility, well, I mean, I guess somewhere in the universe, but hopefully not this timeline, where the... exponential growth of technology just ends, and then we go, well, this is good enough. Let's go make air conditioners colder or something like it's.
Yeah, I hope that there's never a line drawn. If there's a line drawn, then do you think that we could ever reach the point where everyone was satisfied, where everybody just took a step back and goes, well, this is all we want, so we're good. Nothing would be interesting.
Yeah, I really
anymore.
Hope not. History is just filled with people pissed off that other people are moving forward.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, I don't know if that would, if that, I mean, it might be a good thing. Maybe they go, all right, well, we'll all just settle that this is far enough. So no more war. But if you make one more iPhone, I will just destroy America. Like,
yeah,
I'm done with it.
Well, we're going to make more iPhones.
Done with your shit. Yeah.
One thing that he was talking about that was interesting was, like, if you went back to, like, the 1700s and you took just, if you hopped in your time machine from the movie Time Machine and you went back to 1730 and you just grabbed some dude, some person off the side of the street and you brought them back to 2015, the amount of technological advances from in the last 300 years is absolutely bananas. And it was just to further explain what exponential growth looks like that we could relate to. But if that person in the 1700s went back 300 years to the 1400s, like, it's not that crazy big of a difference.
No.
Like, you're still on your horses, and there's still no telephone, there's still no, like, mass communication. So the person in 1700s would have to go back to like 5 AD in order to like really make somebody like freak the fuck out, and then that person would have to go even further back in time to show somebody something that would really fucking freak them out. And that was just another interesting thing that the dude covered about exponential growth and how a lot of people discount that because they can't be, since it's not directly in front of them, they can't understand how it could possibly be any different than the way it is. Like, a lot of people aren't going to believe the advances that could potentially be made until they are made and somebody comes out and is like, hey, check this shit out. So, yeah, it's...
I think that 300-year mark is even a bit of a stretch. If you...
For sure.
...suddenly jolted from 1980 to 2015, that's a massive leap.
Definitely.
I mean, gradually, it... You know, it happened really fast, but everybody saw it coming. I mean, you saw someone come up and go, well, this is a touchscreen. And then you watched cell phones get really, really small and then really, really big again. Like, you watched that in a flow pattern. But if you were just to break that timeline and grab somebody and said, here, your phone is connected to the wall and there's no way that it can't be connected to the wall. And then you jump them forward and say, not only is this phone not connected to the wall, but it's as thin as a pencil and has more computing power than it would have taken 10 rockets to make it to the moon. Like, this is how far we're going to come in your lifetime. Like, you're alive now, and you're going to see this. And they go, no, you're not. I mean, you could see it with that ride we were talking about the other day. You can go to Disney World and get on that, you know, the Land of Tomorrow, and they brought it back, and they redid it, and I get to sit through it, and they're showing, like, robotic dishwashing guys, and it's very silly things to see. If you'd have just shown in that, a bunch of people came and sat down, they go, this will be the Land of Tomorrow, and it's just a bunch of teenagers staring at what looks like the ground with a piece of glass in their hand, they'd have been like,
what the fuck are they holding in their hands?
Yeah, is that a mirror? That's what we're going to? No, that is all the computing.
It essentially is a mirror, because all they're doing is taking selfies, so it's a mirror. Yep.
Yeah. Greatest technology of 2015, a stick that holds your phone further away from your face.
So you can take better pictures of yourself to send to people.
Yeah. 2015, we have cut out having to ask anyone for anything. Hey, can you take this picture of me? Sure. Not anymore. Fuck that guy. Use this stick with a trigger.
Do not socialize. That's how you get stabbed.
Yeah. The only socialization you will do is on the internet.
Behind a keyboard where your balls are the size of dumpsters.
King Kong.
And you can just talk incredible amounts of shit to people.
The AI thing, I'm seeing too much of it, which is making me nervous. It seems like every time we look for stories and start crawling, I just come AI this and AI that, and Google bought these people and they've, you know, secured Walt Disney's brain for whatever. I think the announcement's going to come sooner than later. 10 years for sure. I would not be surprised if it was quite a bit sooner than that.
The popular guess is, not popular guess, but one of the, when they do the surveys at like these conventions and stuff like this, like the guys who are at the forefront of AI and like the people who are going to these events, they give them like questionnaires and stuff like that. And the popular belief for the earliest that it's going to happen is 2030. The middle, that like people would be like 50% chance that it's going to happen is by 2040. And then a 90% chance that it's going to happen is 2075.
So I think that's way too far off from where we're at right now.
Well, it was the for sure, this with 90% chance that this is going to happen is 2075. But yeah, man, I don't know. It's coming fast, and it's going to it's going to be fucking crazy when it picks up, because when it picks up, it's just going to fucking erupt. It's going to blow up so quickly that very few people are going to be ready for it, like me being one of them. I'm definitely not going to be ready for it.
I told you I'm going to go ahead and get that T-shirt made that says "Best Robot Hand Jobs." gotta appease them when they come in.
Absolutely.
Make a mental note for me to apologize to Jordan tomorrow.
We shouldn't knock on the door. If we got a sign that put it on the door that said "recording," there'd be a line of people knocking on the fucking door. Because those are the people that we work with.
I opened the door. He just smiled at me. I went, for sure, fuck off. He's just like, oh. I can hear him talking. I wonder why they didn't answer. Bang, 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 bang.
I'll just knock some more.
All right, I've got a little less end of the worldy and a little bit more save the worldy.
Yeah.
Worldy. Gayest way to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Divergent Motors, new motor company. About 4 months ago, they popped up on the grid, kind of not really making waves, just coming out with something new. And their whole deal is 3D printed electric cars. Not just an electric car, but an electric supercar. The thing does 0 to 60 in 2.2 seconds. The thing about the 3D printing, the whole point of it is to have a micro manufacturing process. So you have, for about, the low estimate from this guy is about $4 million. Realistically, you're looking at about 6 to 8.
For the car itself?
No, not for the car, for the manufacturing process. To be able to make your own cars, to make your own cars and put them on the road. So all you need, this is it, this is all you need, is a 3D printer that can print metal. You know, you got the new metal 3D printers.
Oh,
they're printing these in
Jesus
aluminum.
Christ.
And what they do is they make basically Lego blocks, like little connects. The pieces then are connected. They look like they're like little nodes, like a little Christmas tree piece, right? So you got multiple hollow points, and these get connected by carbon fiber rods that get pinned in.
Oh, okay.
And you can construct a frame very quickly, and it's surprisingly strong. Just to give you an idea of the difference in weight savings for this thing, the chassis itself is 61 pounds fully assembled.
Holy fuck.
The dry weight of the car, batteries, the steering components, wheels, tires, completely assembled and rolling, 1,400 pounds. So this thing is teeny tiny.
What? That's not very big at all. Is it? What size is it? I mean, because 1,400 pounds is...
It's a two-seater. So it is a sports car.
Is that like, I don't know...
Probably Miata size.
Okay, I was going
to
guess.
It's hard
like
to judge when you're looking at it, but... It only fits two people and not side by side. It's one in the front, one in the back.
It looks like a fucking fighter plane.
Yeah, it looks like one too. I'll show you the picture. It's a, it's a bad mamber jammer, what it looks like. But they 3D print the unibody, or it's not a unibody. It has a frame, but they 3D print the body in one segment, and then they add little gull wing doors to it.
Of course.
Yeah, this is the prototype. I'm sure it's going to take some refinements. I've seen what looks like a final product of it, but it wasn't the one in these stories. The thing was in Popular Science this month, but it was, these guys have been doing interviews and trying to get the word out now for, like I said, about 4 months. $10 million is what they're looking to raise for an entire factory to give
a
comparison.
Unreal.
To start a... If you wanted to start a factory to even, you know, we're not talking about Ford or Chevy. If you want to start a factory conventional to make a product line now, you're looking at about $3 billion to get rolling. Because everything is done now with robotics and CAD, you know, design. These things are so expensive. You have to have basically a power plant in a thing just to get it working. So
yeah.
They're talking about, no added emissions. You're using just electricity that you would receive, you know, anyways, kind of. I mean,
so just like a normal
right.
Electric
your 3D printer is going to use it, but it's not going to.
Oh, you mean factory wise?
Right,
okay,
factory
wise,
because that's their whole deal. Is right now, no matter how you can get down to zero exhaust emissions on a car, and it still pollutes more than a million cars on the road in manufacturing.
Okay.
Because these factories are just pumping it out.
I never considered that. That's interesting.
The guys that make the batteries and stuff for the Teslas, which are, you know, they're being hailed as this, and I love the I love the car, but they're being hailed as this great zero pollutant car. But to make a lithium ion battery is extremely pollutant.
Oh, yeah. It's murderous, dude.
So you're ending up with, you know, a coin toss. Like, either you can have a car that burns fossil fuels and pollutes on its own, or you can have a car that just gives you the whole bill right up front. Here's all the polluting you did, and it's going to equal out, you know, pretty close. This guy says you don't have to do that. You can build them in micro factories, and he wants to have small centers of privately owned car manufacturers across the country that are producing this thing. But it's divergent motors.
That'd be crazy. So could you like go to the dealership and sit down in front of a computer and then this guy helps you walk through this program where you design your own car?
What they've done is they've got their engineers and everybody to go ahead and build all of the programs. So all you do when you get this is a list of materials and then the 3D printers that they use. They may just tell you which ones they are, but then they give you the files and you just plug it in and start printing. So you're just going to get, you know, a thumbstick that has your car on it. And then this will print, the aluminum printer will print all of the joints to go ahead and make the frame. It'll give you the dimensions for how you need to make your carbon fiber shafts that go in between it.
Where does the carbon fiber, like, when does, what am I trying to ask? I mean, one person can't just make carbon fiber for themselves. Like, that's difficult shit.
You could make the tubes yourself if you're rolling them. I don't know if you get even enough strength. I bet you would just get those purchased.
Okay.
I mean, there are going to be like leather for seating and stuff like that. That's all going to be outside sourced. But your body and your chassis are going to be printed. So you don't have to worry about any of that. Then you're going to have to, of course, source batteries. You're not going to be making your own batteries.
I mean, unless you're a go-getter.
Unless you own a small country. I'll just mine for it all right here. But still, just the idea of I mean, a $4 million. Let's say it is, even if you can only print one a month, if you could manufacture one car a month, and these are supercars, it got to be selling for what? I mean, even if this thing is...
Say $250,000.
Yeah, say $250,000. Your initial startup cost and cost of supplies, if you could run for 2 years...
Yeah, it paid off in what, like 16 months?
Yeah, then it's aluminum and the raw leather and all that you've got to make it, and then you've got a very few number of employees. It's this guy's team is only, I think, about 8 people.
Oh, yeah.
They're working on it. So it takes 2 people to assemble the car, and they're people. This thing isn't getting made by robots. These guys, the guy has the entire chassis for the car in a backpack.
Do they? Whoa, what the fuck?
It's a big backpack. It's a duffel bag.
I was going to say, do they talk about how big these parts are? Or
I got to watch them assemble one. And each of the knuckles was probably basketball size.
Okay.
And they lay them out in a jig, and then they attach these carbon fiber poles through there and pin them. Once they're all pinned, they attach different sections of that, and the jig lines everything up, and then they tighten everything. And once it's all bolted and tightened together, it creates a frame capable of this car. And being safe enough to drive. Now, this thing didn't look like it had airbags or any type of safety thing in it. This is not a Tesla. It's not a replacement for one. You're not going to see a family sedan of this going down the road anytime soon, because if it hits a squirrel, it'll explode. It's not meant for that. But you can get in it and ride through the hills in California running 0 to 60 in 2.2. This thing's fast, real fast.
That's crazy.
Said it's like half the weight of the S model from Tesla.
That's fucking bananas. I'll be real, if this even goes through, I'd be real curious to see how it sets up. I feel like that they would, I feel like people wouldn't be printing their own cars off. There'd be very few people that were actually doing that. I think
printing your own, yeah.
Like dealerships would, is that more the direction, like dealerships would be able to print these cars off?
Their whole direction is to have micro manufacturers. So you're not going to do all this for one car.
Yeah.
They want to have, like, if it gets popular enough, you could have a Midwest, maybe one or two. Well, for these type cars, none.
Yeah.
But, you can have a guy in Miami printing these, and you can have a guy in New York printing these, and you can have a few guys out in the West Coast printing these things out, so you can go to them and have your car made. And if they get good enough at them, and if they have some open source kind of maneuverability, like if the guy says, I wish the nose wasn't so pointy, I wish you could round that out, and the guy says, well, I can do that, I can bring this up here and move this over here, and we can stretch this because it doesn't matter structurally, I can make those changes for you. You could custom out your car. They didn't really go into any of that. Right now, he's just trying to get started.
That'd be cool. Like all the, if you could change like how the paneling looked on your car, right. Like you said, changing the.
I want a giant shark fin on the hood.
And yeah,
I can do that.
Yeah, I want like T-Rex arms coming out of the bumper.
Sure. Yeah, I got you. I'll get drunk in 3D print cars all day.
Fuck yeah, dude. That'd be sweet. Sickest hobby ever.
And I kind of stumbled across this, picked up the Popular Science and saw it and went off on a little tangent reading about them. The other thing that's coming up on the electric car front is the lithium ion battery, which we have used since 1991 to power everything from cell phones to cars. It's in everything, right?
You see
lithium
absolutely.
Ions in absolutely everything. Hopefully it's coming to an end. It's apparently really inefficient.
Yeah, it's a motherfucker to mine for. Like when they're building those things, Top Gear had an interesting thing when they were talking about like when the hype of the Prius was at its fucking like apex, they were talking about how terrible Priuses are for the environment. It's not the car itself that's bad. It's the entire process that it takes to build the battery that is just fucking terrible for the environment.
Yeah, the battery is a problem. Scientists have come up, University of Cambridge, I believe, came up with a new battery that is testing well, but they believe it's a decade off from use. It's still lithium, but it's a lithium O2 battery. If you look it up, it's sometimes called a lithium air battery, but as far as I can tell, the real name is lithium oxygen battery. It has 10 times the storing capacity of a lithium ion.
Holy shit.
So right now, your Teslas, this Divergent car, they cannot run on a single charge as long as a car can run on a full tank of gas.
Okay.
Well, an average car.
Yeah.
I'm sure your big diesels, like some of those guys, get about a mile a gallon.
For sure.
But, you can jump into like your car and book it 6 hours on a tank of gas, and you just can't do that right now with these batteries.
Yeah.
This one, you can go 10 times further, so theoretically you're surpassing a full tank of fuel, which would change the game on these.
Yeah, definitely.
If you could fill up your S-Series Tesla and jump on it and drive 20 hours on a charge, that's big.
Dude, plus, man, I think Teslas they've implemented solar charging on their roof panels too, haven't they? That doesn't necessarily charge the car to full, but it'll prolong the life of the battery like a little bit longer.
They do that. They've also got those when you brake, it transfers the energy from you stopping those tires to
that's pretty
to charging
incredible.
Your battery. So they're using everything they can to extend the length of these, but at the heart of it is outdated technology. It's a 2015 everything else, and they still got to go dig up these 1991 batteries and throw into the car to get it to go down the road.
Yeah.
So that's
pretty crazy.
They might come up with something different. Like I said, that this thing it's real weird looking. It's like glass bottles with wires running into them and all this, but it's working, and it's a lithium oxygen battery. So
lithium oxygen, that sounds weird.
It does.
I
was hoping more for a twin ion engine. But
just a fucking jet drive.
Yeah, as soon as I can have a TIE fighter for a car, I'll be real happy. Yeah, get rid of the lithium. Keep the ion.
You could just get, I think they make a phone app that lets you, like, program speaker, motor sounds. And then you could put speakers on the outside of your car. Just have it make TIE fighter sounds.
Let me go ahead and do that. When I get a Tesla, I'm for sure just going to have a iPod stuck in it that sounds like a big V8, because I'm gonna forget the car's on and just accidentally hit the gas and slam into somebody.
Yeah,
just is it running? I don't know. It's gonna be me for the entire time I own it. Is your car on? I have no idea, man.
I saw the inside of one of them a few years ago, and I vaguely remember. Is there like a light or something?
Oh yeah,
that is on.
Well, everything comes on, man. The dash, all that.
But you could just turn that on, though. With it being electric,
once it's on these. I don't know. What do we know? I got to go drive one around.
Don't know shit about fuck.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
Once your buddy gives us a call to come out to SpaceX.
Yeah. Shit, yeah.
He'll be doing good. What else you got on SciTech things? Thingy McThingerballs.
Thingy McThingerballs. Dude, that AI thing really, and I forgot fucking more, way more than I read.
Yeah, that was what it took you like 4 days to chum through that thing. I know we didn't have a lot of time, but.
One thing that they did cover was like the different, like once it, skipping forward to, in the event that it was able to create itself into a super intelligence, and they were talking about like the different, like the three different ways that that an ASI system could function, and they listed what was it? It was an oracle, and the oracle is essentially like like Google kind of, but like you would go to this artificial intelligence, and the example that they used was cars, so it was like. If you went to this Oracle ASI and said, how can I manufacture a more efficient car engine? It would give you an answer on how to do it. And then one of the other ones was a genie. And that would be, you go and you ask the same question, like, how can I build a more efficient car? And then it would build it for you.
That's the death of human innovation.
It gets worse. So the last one is called Sovereign. And what that would do is, instead of looking for a better way to manufacture a car, it would figure out a better idea for transporting humans. So it would just completely fucking negate the idea of a car, and it would just go to something that we wouldn't even be able to think of.
And it's just going to manufacture a big enough hand to grab us all by the nape of the neck. And go, stop doing that. And then do this instead, you dummy.
There's teleportation devices for everybody.
God, you're the worst.
Use them wisely.
We're a bunch of monkeys with rocket launchers. How did you make it this far? That's all I was going to say. I've done the computations, and you shouldn't be here. I don't get it.
Yeah, this still doesn't add up.
Yeah. You're tadpoles that decided to grow up and kill each other. Cool. Good job. Good job, peoples.
Good job.
I don't like the idea of people not being able to come up with with the new ideas anymore. That being said, the stuff it comes up with is probably going to be amazing.
Yeah, like the dude was talking about, that we can't even begin to think about what it could potentially come up with. Like it would potentially be so far beyond our level of intelligence that it would be able to control molecules. Like it'd be like Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen movie. Like it would just be omnipotent, and it would be everything that we consider a god. That's what it would be. It would be capable of doing anything that we could imagine. Plus,
right. I mean, if we could imagine it, then we would just do it.
Right.
There'd be
no
reason for it.
They talk about like, they talked about nanotechnology, and that's another big thing with, that it goes hand in hand with AI, and they talk about making a nanobot that is, Jesus, I don't even remember how small it is, dude. It's real small. It's like, it's smaller than a hemoglobin, so it's smaller than a blood cell. And in order to make many of these, so they could send it in to, say, someone who had cancer's body, and they would go in and they would eliminate those cells, they would... The easiest way to take care of that would be to program it to procreate, essentially, like to make clones of itself. So one would make a second one. Those two would make four. Those four would make 16, and like so on and so forth. And their worry is the command for telling it to stop reproducing never goes off, or it malfunctions, so this thing just begins infinitely reproducing itself at an insane rate that gets faster and faster and faster, to the point where it's just this, they call it a gray goo. So it's just this gray goo that takes over the earth, because it produces energy by consuming carbon, and everything on earth is carbon based, so it would just consume the planet if it malfunctioned. And it just didn't stop making itself more.
I mean, I'll sign up for the beta, but if you can just when a new baby is born, give it one of these little nanobots, and then you live to be 800 because you never get sick, and it just repairs and rebuilds. I mean, that would...
That's another interesting
thing. Incredible,
that they,
man.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing that they came up with, is it could... The AI thing, like I was saying back at the beginning, it could go very well or very bad. And I guess you can put these options on either side of the table, whichever you think would be worse. It could potentially tip the scales for the human race to either be extinct or immortal.
It's not crazy to think with, you know, advancements in modern technology and my high level of income that I might not live to be 200, maybe 300 years old. I'd be excited for that. Please happen. Smart people, let this happen. I don't have much to offer you, but I will do whatever. I got a long time to pay off that debt if you make me immortal. Just think about that.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah.
I got time.
Guaranteed money for a while.
Yeah. I will dive in your swimming pool and clean it. We'll make this work. We did kind of slip back down into AI. Man, that topic is so freaking interesting. It hurts my wee little brain. But the possibilities, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Possibilities.
I have nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing to. It's one of those things where you get to talk about it, and then you really just need to sit back and just you start thinking about. Yeah, I start thinking about random things like how right now there is somebody pissed off that somebody drew their imaginary being in a funny comic strip, so now they're going to go blow up their family.
Yeah.
And then on the other end of the scale, we're trying to make nanobots that make you live forever so you can kill each other longer.
It's pretty bananas how distanced some people's ideals are. Like, it just doesn't... You're still focusing on that. That's what you want to worry about? Okay. Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah. What should I do today? Hate someone. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Keep doing that. Well, then I guess it's time for our quick NASA tidbit. This week in NASA.
What are they up to?
This week in NASA, astronaut Scott Kelly and, here's the name, Jill Lindgren. All right. It seems
a lot easier than you made it out to be.
Oh, here it is. It's K-J-E-L-L is his first name. So I'm pretty sure it's Jill.
Kegel. His name is Kegel.
There it is.
He's named after an exercise to keep your your pussy tight. Sorry, Mom.
They got to do their first spacewalk.
Yeah, yeah.
The other day. This spacewalk was, man, I loved how they put it in This Week in NASA is a YouTube series. And... Yeah, they go over all the cool things that they're doing, and they brush through. They were like, these guys got to do their first spacewalk, and it went great, and they didn't have any issues, and you know, they went out at 8 a.m. Eastern time, and it took, you know, what was it, 4 or 6 hours?
Yeah, I think it was 6 hours.
6 hours complete, and then they got back in. You know, great, fantastic. They totally brushed over what they did, and I had to do a little digging to really read up on it.
What did they do? I just saw the pictures from Instagram, which are super fucking rad. If you don't follow the International Space Station on Instagram, they have some very, very cool pictures.
The purpose of this was, one, to install a thermal blanket on some electronic equipment. You know, nothing cool. Just go out and cover up the little piggies. The second part of this was to start the installation. They began running the wires for the first commercial docking section on the International Space Station for Boeing and SpaceX's commercial taxi flights.
Dude, fuck yeah. That's awesome.
Even better is they list a time frame.
Oh, really?
This has to be completed by 2017. That's when they want to do the first flights.
Holy shit.
That's 2 years. That's less than 2 years.
Yeah.
That's a year and a half away from probably a launch if they go March time frame, which a lot of them like to do. SpaceX and Boeing begin manned shuttles to ISS preliminary in 2017.
Wow, that's fucking incredible.
Commercial spaceflight.
So,
there it is.
Like, when they're talking commercial, are they talking commercial company with trained astronauts?
Probably. It's not going to be like us.
Pay us $6,000 and you can fly up to the space station for a couple hours.
Touch some things. No, but it's going to be commercial companies. Like right now, they do unmanned shuttles,
mm-hmm.
and they're captured, and you know they unload them up there.
Yeah.
Now they're going to be manned, and they called them taxis, manned taxi flights.
Wow, that's pretty remarkable.
That's this week in NASA. I am done on the space news. I tried to go real heavy into video games this week because we keep getting distracted on learning things. I'm learning my brain stuff, so.
Yeah, the only time that we have is at work, so we can, I don't know, gaming just kind of unfortunately has fallen by the wayside because we're working so fucking much.
Yeah. Oh, can't wait to quit this job.
Yep.
You got anything to start off the video game revolution for this week?
I was stoked to hear the guy at Game Informer talking about Overwatch today, and that's that Blizzard title that's coming out. The first IP.
Yeah, the FPS one, right?
Yeah, first-person shooter. It's their first IP, and I think he said 17 years? That's pretty fucking crazy.
I was looking at, they got that preview on the Blizzard.
On their launcher?
Yeah, on the launcher. It reminds me a lot of Dirty Bomb.
Yeah, The way the guy explained it was he compared it best to Team Fortress 2. He said that was the best comparison. He said all the characters are very specific. Like they're not.
You can't just customize your, like you don't get Bob and then Bob gets to get whatever weapon you give him and.
Yeah, like in that idea, like it's similar, very similar to Dirty Bomb. With like Bushwhacker has his set of skills and like Kira has her set of skills and so on. And it's going to be similar to it in that where you have one primary and then two alternate attacks or abilities or whatever they are. And he said all the characters that he had played felt like very well designed and very well thought out.
I love those games.
Sounds like a lot of fun, man. And I don't know, it's going to be free to play. It sounds like right now BlizzCon comes up on November 6th and 7th. So next Friday and Saturday, there should be some pretty good news coming out from Blizzard. Hopefully Overwatch is something that is covered.
Yeah, it's going to be their new guy, right? So when's beta?
It's in closed beta right now.
Ugh.
Yeah, I checked my email today to see if I got anything for it. And no, unfortunately
they
not.
They keep forgetting.
Yeah.
I'll talk to the owner.
Yeah. Left a voicemail, never returned my call.
Ugh. You know, they're busy, though. We'll see them at brunch.
Yeah,
sure. PAX Australia was just, see, they're still going on. I think it just ended, but the...
Was it on for the weekend?
Yeah, this past one. They got all the videos on YouTube. NVIDIA had a big presence. They were wandering around showing nice custom-built rigs that were in fish tanks, and they had the...
That looks sick as shit. I glanced real cool. Over.
And they had, it was like the one you were talking about before. It has the, this one had the actual fish tank. Like there was the little castle inside.
That's
there.
That's so fucking badass. Like a little treasure chest that the lid blows open with bubbles.
And then
you
just got this motherboard sitting in the gel in there. And they showed the new G-Sync with the Asus screens, you know, your monitors there. It's supposed to eliminate screen tearing if you have the right components. They actually had two rigs set up side by side, running identical setups, one with the G-Sync monitor and one with just the plain old S-Sync that's been in everything.
Yeah.
And the guy's grabbing the mouse and shaking it around. You can see all the screen tearing and everything that you get when you just go nuts on like a first-person shooter.
Right.
And then they showed it on the G-Sync, and it was so smooth, there was nothing. And I want to get my hands on it and actually try it because it's hard to believe that something like that can make that big of a difference, but it did. The two identical rigs... And they showed it right there. It was really, really nice. There was no stutter. There was no tearing.
So is it something that NVIDIA is going to make themselves, or is it?
That's something Asus is doing.
Oh, Asus. Okay.
NVIDIA was doing a walkthrough. Sorry if I didn't clarify that. NVIDIA had, they were going through everybody that was using NVIDIA graphics cards and showing what people were doing with their hardware.
Okay.
And so they went across the guy that had the fish tank thing, and then they went across this deal that was talking about G-Sync. they went across a guy running three 980 TIs in
what?
Yeah, three in one rig. An SLI connection was like a physical connection, and it wasn't like the cable. Like they plugged into a mount, and the mount plugged into the motherboard.
Oh, crazy!
It looked really cool. Yeah, unnecessary is right. One 980 Ti will run everything you can think of on 4K, but this, you know, just in case.
Yeah, windowed with the other fucking one. You got to run two instances of the game at the same time.
Guys, like we had to weld two i7s together to get it to run, but it's there.
Yeah.
Need it. Yeah, that's need it. Send me one.
Yeah. I'm not even fucking around. I need it.
I was staring at that other freaking 970 today real hard. I was like, but I could just SLI them. And I was like, there is nothing that I can't run on Ultra right now.
Yeah, for real.
There's nothing. I haven't run into any problems. I haven't had a single issue. And I'm like, nah, I need more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need another one. I just want my benchmark score to go up because I want to be able to share that online.
Dude, I'm really happy you're fucking over that, man. Like, you built your gaming PC and you spent the first week not even playing games. You would just fucking benchmark it constantly.
Had to get her set up.
That's like sitting in your garage and staring at your car, never driving it, just staring at it and just like walking over and like wiping dust off of the hood every once in a while. Drive the fucking thing.
You know the things I have in the garage. Like, that's kind of what I do when I'm home. What's wrong with the bike? Nothing. I'm going to repaint it today. Oh, all right. Just all day. Yep. That's what I'm going to do. No, you know, I'm real happy the way it's set up now. I don't think I could go much further without endangering something. But whatever. I'm running 4.1 gigahertz on a 8350. So, yeah. But the big thing that I took from PAX today was the new Just Cause 3 gameplay. Just Cause 3 did a over hour live Twitch stream of gameplay, and this wasn't scripted. One guy's walking around a microphone, and people are screaming out stuff from the audience. Grapple that guy, yank him to this, go blow up that gas station, go take that scooter and ramp it off of something.
That's fucking killer, man.
And he was accommodating everybody he could. I mean, there was stuff that you could tell. The guy said, we're going to get yelled at for doing some of this stuff because they told us not to do anything that we haven't tested. And so they got out there, and one guy was like, launch the head of that statue through that building. And the guy's like, all right. So they go and they grapple the thing up, and it doesn't really work,
the fact that it was being done like in real time is huge, dude. Yeah.
There was no, you should throw that head through that building. And the guy was like, I don't know if it'll slam. Oh, look how perfect it
worked.
Wow,
look at how cool that is.
No, there was things that just didn't.
Buy our game.
Yeah, didn't work. The game, graphics-wise, meh. It's Just Cause. It's not. These guys aren't breaking the mold with anything graphics wise.
Mechanics though are pretty bananas.
Oh, the mechanics of this were it.
Real happy to hear you say that graphics don't make the fucking game.
They don't.
Way.
As long as it looks like this, it looks good. It looks really good, but it's not realistic. It's not Call of Duty style. It's more.
You watch your fucking mouth.
But you know what I mean? Like that. You're not trying to make the person look like he's in a movie. Like, it's not Metal Gear Solid. It's not that.
There could have been a little bit of loss between, like, all the different relays that it was going through, like, being shown at this, being recorded by something else, then transferred through the internet to you. Like, there could have been a little bit of loss in there. Maybe it. I mean, Just Cause 2 looked pretty fucking good for its time.
And let me don't take anything away from the game. It looks really good. It looks next gen. It's not. There's no issue with the graphics, but it's not the impressive thing to take away.
Right on.
The impressive thing is the mechanics of the game. Now you can tear down buildings and stuff with your grappling hook. So if you haven't played Just Cause, it is the game where you have a grappling hook with almost an unlimited reach, and you have a deployable parachute that you can deploy it instantly. So you can grapple something and start yanking yourself towards it and then deploy your parachute and float up into the air. Well, now they added a wingsuit.
Oh,
so they
sick.
Slowed down the parachute. The parachute used to be really fast. So you could shoot from your parachute, but you couldn't hit anything. So now they've slowed it way down. So you launch up, and then you can just float and stare at this massive world. By the way, world is huge. It's, go check it out. It's a big, big place.
That's fucking cool.
But as you float, you can take over almost entire areas floating above it and just shooting people. Like, you can snipe from this thing now.
Yeah.
But to compensate, because now the speed's gone, they gave you a wingsuit. So you can speed around and get the wingsuit cooking, and you can fly real low to the ground, and you can upgrade it to where you can land from it. It looked really cool. Like I said, it was a little over an hour of gameplay. Took a lot away from it. One thing I did notice, he could have been playing it on like an extremely easy setting, but the guy just could not die.
It looked like there was just a sea of enemies, too. I wonder if they set something up for demo purposes.
Just
where
a bullet sponge. I mean, and then the guy would be like, oh, I'm about to die, and he'd yank himself away. He would, like, everything would turn gray, just like in Just Cause 2, and you could get out of there before you die.
Oh, okay.
Which has always been the thing. The game is not meant to be real hard. It's just meant to be real fun.
It's not supposed to be, like, anything remotely realistic,
no,
too. No,
yeah, you're a sponge. Suck it up, dude. You're getting bullet after bullet. But this guy was, like, making decisions and talking as he's just getting lit.
Just riddled with bullets.
So there was an insane amount of health on there. Each of the base captures, they now unlock your weapons and vehicles. So when you take over, each individual base has a weapon or a vehicle. Not like before where you just got points along the way. You go in and you take over this thing, you're going to get something for doing it, and I really like that.
Oh, cool.
It's gratifying to do all that side mission stuff. You know, you're getting new things.
Yeah.
This one is, for any Doctor Who fans out there, the propaganda voice, the guy that does all the propaganda work, like if you take over, if you blow something up, he'll come on and say, you know, we meant to blow that up. We were done with that facility, and now we're going to build a new factory. Like,
oh, no shit. I never played the Just Cause game, so is that like...
It's real similar to Krat. What is...
Crackdown?
No. The world you're in is... The country's called Krat. Oh, my brain hurts.
Yeah. Jesus, too much just stuff. Stroked out there, dude.
Far Cry. It's like Far Cry. You have to go in and take over areas and tear down propaganda posters, and you're moving.
It's like a revolution. Okay,
right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you got a revolution going, and you're moving the rebellion forces to take over areas. So you drop flags and raise the rebel flag, and then guys come in and they hold that base after you leave. So after you take it over, they come in, and then you can go on to another one.
Okay, like when those NPCs move in, do they set up like shops and
that? These are full functioning towns. They just the colors change. And
okay.
But the propaganda voice was done by David Tennant.
Who was that?
He was Doctor Who for a long while.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that's pretty cool. If you're a Doctor Who fan, David Tennant does all those voices, and it sounds pretty cool to listen to him. The physics of the game are Just Cause physics. So, you know,
unreasonable.
There's an achievement that the guy did where you can shoot your cable out, your grappling hook, and you can hook up anchor points to a person and then anchor points to other people, and then they don't activate until you hit the button. So you're making a slingshot. So like if you imagine a guy laying on the ground and then like two towers, you can hook like two or three cables to one side and two or three cables to the other, and then press it and it will retract him all the way out and then launch him. And then you can launch these people like halfway across the map. So he launches, dude, like 1,000. It was like, I want to say it was like 800 miles or something. Like, just scoosh. And the guy's just gone, man. He's gone. And so that was what they were trying to do with the statue head. And you can hook booster rockets up to him and then launch him and then hit it. And then it'll launch him even further.
Like
so
the pig in the Doritos commercials.
Yeah. So it's Just Cause. If you thought it was going to be realistic, you didn't play any of the other ones. But I'm real excited for the game. I think it's going to be amazing. I think it's just going to be incredible.
Dude, we briefly talked about it earlier. The way that they handled their gameplay demo is pretty awesome to me. Like, there's too many companies that show up to those game shows, whatever it may be, PAX East, PAX West, E3.
Microsoft.
And there's whoever it may be. And there's some dude standing on the stage with a controller in his hand just playing make-believe.
Right.
And then the game is doing it was pre-recorded to do.
This is me just playing Minecraft in a 3D manipulated world that, you know.
Oh,
everyone's
yeah,
so
man.
Excited for, and you're not going to see forever.
I didn't even think about the last E3. Like, all sorts of silly shit. Nintendo's real bad about that, too.
Yeah. It's all the big guys are. I mean, everybody is. It's up to the game developers, like these guys, are going to be the ones that actually show you gameplay, because they don't have the money, the time, or any of the resources to go train a bunch of actors to come in and act like they're playing video games.
Yeah, those big names can deal with bad press. I mean, Xbox is still afloat after all that fuckery with the mandatory Be Online shit that they ended up taking back. Like,
no, but a game developer is one bad game away from not being a game developer.
Absolutely. Yeah, like athletes. Like, as soon as you drop the ball, you're fucked.
That was your job, to catch the ball. You didn't catch the ball. But that was, I was real excited for it. I can't wait to play it. I hope it's not glitchy in any way. That's still something hard to. I know you're seeing that run, but you also don't know exactly what they're playing it on. A lot of the guys like to play it on PC. You know, when they show it.
Yeah.
Xbox is, you know, obviously real bad about that. About playing a game and you're like, yeah, this is coming exclusively to Xbox One, but I'm playing it on the PC we built it on, so it's going to look fantastic. What was it, Witcher? The graphics were way dumbed down when they finally hit.
Yeah, that, yeah.
People were having a stroke over the game when they showed it, the preview at E3. And it came out and they were like, what was this?
Yeah, hopefully it's the opposite effect with Fallout 4.
Yeah. I think it's going to look exactly how it looked. I don't. You
like
know, they're that.
Fallout 3.
Yeah. But graphics don't make the game.
Yeah, for sure.
No, it's going to be an amazing game if you like Fallout. I got bored with it. Boop.
Wow.
Got
crazy.
Got bored with it, man. I was like, I'm going to go on a Fallout rampage. I'm just going to start over. I'm going to play all the way through from the tabletop, you know, version of Fallout 1 and just blaze on through. And then I found myself starting 3 and I put skins on it and made it look good, and then I like made it through the first set of missions and was like, I don't like this game anymore, and I just turned it off. And now I'm not going to probably get Fallout 4 until it goes on sale on Steam, but whatever,
dude. It's hard to be motivated to pay full price for a game.
Good guy Steam.
And yeah, definitely they were talking about on that Game Informer podcast, they brought up something interesting about, they made a good point with saying they don't, I'm not real big on Telltale adventure games, but just for reference sake, I'll use them as an example. They aren't real big on episodic adventure games. They would rather wait until the end of the game and then buy them all and play through them from beginning to end.
Absolutely.
Because trying to maintain it and keep up with everything is a lot of work.
Maintaining interest is a problem for me.
And another thing that they brought up that I never even considered was, like, if you're just playing Telltale games, you're just playing single player games. Meanwhile, everybody else is playing these multiplayer games. So maybe by the time you get to the multiplayer game, half of the audience is gone and moved on to something else. At the rate that games come out these days, like Destiny Taken King didn't come out that long ago. Halo 5 came out, what, last Tuesday or Friday or some
Tuesday.
Shit? Like, it's, I mean, there has to be, especially with those two games, there has to be a shared fan base, and it has to pull away from one another.
Well, I'm just going through my usual stuff looking for information for this podcast. There's already complete walkthroughs on YouTube for Halo 5.
Oh, dude, I'm
bunch
sure.
Of them. I mean, and we're talking about fully edited. Here's your Easter eggs. Here's all three endings. Here's, like, it's already done. It's, you can't, I don't, those guys at Game Informer have got to be exhausted.
Dude, absolutely. Like, those guys that write, like, Prima strategy guides, those guys get the game, and then they are responsible to play through the game and write that strategy guide. Like, the company, say, who's doing Halo now?
343 Industries.
So 343 would send Prima a copy of Halo 5, or multiple copies, whatever it may be, and then they would have to play through the entire game and find everything, and then write the manual about it. Like, that isn't...
And they...
That's not in-house.
Probably in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to give them... There's not that much time between finishing the game and releasing it. Because you can't sit on things that long.
No.
Not in this industry. Well, let's talk the ever questionable. Is PS4 going to offer backwards compatibility the same way that Xbox One is now doing? According to...
I bet they don't.
According to everybody, they're not. They're not going to. It's never going to happen. You're not going to see it. Until you did.
Oh, really?
PS4 released a Star Wars Battlefront edition, PS4, right? And it came with a sweet Darth Vader sticker, a PS4 controller that has his little chest piece on the front of it, you know?
Oh, cool.
But it came preloaded with the old Star Wars games, like Star Wars Bounty Hunter, like the I think it was the Pod Racer game. The,
really?
Yeah, it came with all of these old titles, and with the big theory on that is,
are you talking like the Pod Racer game from like the 64?
Yeah, like that. So it's
it's kind of similar to what Rare did with their
right. That okay. bundle that they did. But that's Rare did their bundle for the release of Microsoft's backwards compatibility for the Xbox One. This, you could look at this as PS4's soft way of testing if backwards compatibility is worth it. They remastered these things. They didn't just get loaded on. They got remastered and they got added. You can also go pick them up on the PS Network, the PSN store,
yeah,
and go ahead and load them on your PS4. That is backwards compatibility. Now, if they're only testing, if it turns out to not be worth it, if it's not worth the risk to them for whatever reason, then this will be it. You had this. But I wouldn't be surprised if this goes over really well, especially with Bounty Hunter, because that was a real cool game. If
what was that on?
That PlayStation 2?
Okay.
PS2? And you got to, you know.
God, the name sounds familiar, dude. But
you got
I
to
have...
be Fett, man.
Oh, okay.
It was.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Pretty cool game.
Don't even remember that.
And there was like the X-Wing fighter game.
Oh, God. That's old.
Yeah. So all of these are on there. And.
God, that's more of like an emulator step, really, isn't it?
Well, it's. That's, I mean, all backwards compatibility is, right?
I mean, having.
Because you're not.
But it's a Nintendo, like the Pod Racer game was on the Nintendo 64. That's not backwards compatibility.
Is it the Pod Racer game or is it the other racing one? Either way, they're both the old.
Yeah,
I think PlayStation had its own version of the Star Wars racing.
Probably genre. that was kind of a fucking big deal.
I didn't play it. I only played the Pod Racer one.
The 64 one.
Yeah,
that was a surprisingly
loved it.
Pretty terrific game.
Loved it, but. That's, I don't know, this is being looked at a lot. There's a lot of murmurings that this is their, I mean, Microsoft did it, and people liked it. They really liked that you're doing the backwards compatibility.
It's a cool idea, but I honestly don't know a single fucking person whoever talks about actually using their backwards compatibility. Dude, not one, not exaggerating, not a single fucking person that I know.
Well, I mean, it's not in full swing until...
Even on 360.
Yeah. People, there was a lot of 360 games, man.
Have you seen games? Games look so much fucking better now. Why? I don't...
Because graphics aren't everything.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. But mechanics are. You remember the control scheme for...
Yeah,
or the control for... Look at GoldenEye. Dude, that's why Rare didn't put that fucking game on their remastered list. The control scheme on that game was fucking awful. They would have to completely build a new first-person shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
An adventure game works fine, like a little action game, whatever, like Battletoads, you're running left and right, that's cool. Dude, controlling a character in a 3D space using the C buttons as your movement and that fucking joystick as look in opposite hands of what it is now.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's easy to reprogram, and plus that game looks like absolute garbage. That game did not age well at all.
You should play paintball.
They're talking about re-releasing it, though. Somebody wants to re-release it. But
everybody
Nintendo wants to make
one.
A less violent version of it. So yeah, that's a big name in on it. So... I mean, I don't know if you remember how violent 007 was, but compared to today's standards, it's right on par with like a G-rated Disney movie.
Right. Yeah.
Like you have
there's
you
more violence
Gears
in the...
of War where you're curb stomping dudes and shoving fucking chainsaws into aliens' chests.
Yeah.
But I mean a little red spot on a bad guy, that's unreasonable.
The only mode will be paintball mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And there'll be a big disclaimer that says that you shouldn't play paintball.
You shouldn't play paintball. Yeah, with people who aren't ready to play paintball. People who aren't ready to play paintball don't like playing paintball when they're not ready.
Disclaimer. And you might have a seizure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it could be a softball test here. Kind of lob it in there to see how they get. Maybe it's just a deal for bundles of old games. So maybe you'll see kind of like how Rare did. Maybe you'll have more of those. I don't know. Maybe it won't mean anything. Maybe it was just for the Star Wars thing. And when they release something down the line, they'll do that again. People like to play the old games. I do. Kills the prices of the old ones, though, for like a collector like myself. When I'm out, when you're out hunting for games, there's games that are just unreasonably priced.
Yep.
And then they...
Earthbound, for instance.
Yeah.
It's like, what, $300 for an Earthbound cartridge?
You're paying so much for some of these games. They weren't good games. They're just rare, and now you can't get them. But then Nintendo goes and throws them up on this, like, where you can download them and play them again on the Wii U.
Right.
Once that happens, the price falls out from the bottom of them.
Yeah.
Because you can get them.
That's the shitty thing about, like, wanting to do, like, I guess the price of it doesn't really matter. It to me, the idea of, like, if you and I ever sat down and did, like, a retro Let's Play or something like that, I would much rather sit down with the console and the original game that it was instead of sitting down with an emulator and playing through the game. Like, it's not the same.
No, it's not. Even with I like the retro controllers, and I play emulators. I mean, the collection I got, and I get, man, it's things finicky. It's, you're running with 20, 25-year-old plus.
That's what it's all about, man.
Hardware, and...
Gotta blow in the cartridges to make that shit function.
Give a little poof-poof. It can get frustrating. It's so frustrating. It's frustrating when you mess with stuff like that and it just doesn't work. But you're right. There's nothing like just having that tangible feel of that feeling I get in my soul when I put one of those games in and I see the startup screen.
Yeah.
Like that. That's why I game. That's why I do this, is from what it was like, when I was a kid. It wasn't microtransactions and downloadable content.
Fucking microtransactions.
Speaking of things that cost probably too much and are of horrible quality, Steam now has video software tutorials.
What do you mean?
You can go on and buy video tutorials on how to make skins for weapons or how to do different software. So they're doing a complete idiot's guide to software type deals on Steam Video now. So you can log on and they'll teach you how to do 3D CAD or whatever it is. There's not a huge selection right now. And you have to stream it. Let me go ahead and say that. You cannot buy and then download the video. You have to buy it and then stream it. So we know that, I mean, the only thing better than YouTube streaming service is Steam, because they're amazing at it.
Oh my God,
they're
dude.
Just not. They're so bad.
So you have to buy access to a video that you have to stream?
Right.
Dude, they better fix their video playback, because it is fucking terrible.
Yeah, you can let me download it, and we're okay. We're fine, Steam. I don't care.
Seriously.
But you're buying, like, packs. So you buy, like, an Adobe whatever Premiere thing, and then it'll have 50 videos in it or something. So I don't think you're doing – you might be able to do individual videos, but from what I've seen of it so far, it'll have, like, 3D CAD tutorials, and then you'll have videos 1 through 18 or something.
That's weird. I wonder what they're – I wonder why.
Well, they're trying to get big into software now. They sell a lot of software, and I guess that was just like another way. Like, if I was going to buy a 3D CAD program, and I thought
a lot of people are probably intimidated by it.
You're right, and you're like, well, I don't really know how to use it, so I'm not going to spend $350 for this thing.
Yeah.
But maybe if I'll spend. I wish they were free, but
yeah,
I think you'd sell more software to make up for the loss of revenue in the free video. But that's my opinion there, Steam. But I could go on and say, okay, well, I'll spend the $5 for these videos and watch through them and see if it's something I'm going to be able to grasp. And if I think, man, these videos are really well done and I can create exactly what I want and this is what's in my head, I'll go ahead and spend that 350 on here, or hey, look, it's on sale this week and I can get it for 285 and I'll go ahead and buy it and go through these videos and learn a new program.
Yeah.
I like the idea. I don't like that you got to pay for it or that you got to stream it. But
they're like bringing back the instructional video. It's kind of fucking weird. Yeah, dude.
I like it. I like that idea.
It was replaced by YouTube. Like
you can probably find most of this on
YouTube. Yeah, you probably fucking can.
And if you can't find it, you know, give it a week and somebody will just screen capture them streaming it and then throw it on the YouTubes.
Yeah, find some way to break the algorithm so YouTube Mafia can't track them down.
Or just
to YouTube Gestapo.
Go to your favorite torrent download site and yank these videos. And that's the sad thing is like if you would just leave it free, or I mean maybe it's not expensive, maybe it's worth it. I don't want to stream it though.
Not from
you guys. I'll do it from YouTube or somewhere else, but until you fix where I can't even watch previews of games, I got to go onto Steam and find out what's coming out and then go to YouTube and watch the preview videos because they just won't load on Steam.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, man, our internet's horrible. And then I click over and watch on YouTube with nothing, no buffering.
Right. Yeah, our internet's pretty bad, but still, even when we're at home, that quality is still, it's still bad. It's just bad. Like the loading bar, and the loading bar could be completely full. We don't need to rant about this. It's still just going to be choppy as fuck.
Yeah.
Like it's unwatchable.
Or you'll maximize the screen after it loads and then
it just shits its pants.
Goes back to the nothing loaded. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did
that's
you
too much.
That?
Yeah. Can't handle all of that.
So, that's new on Steam, software tutorials. I've only got one other thing on the docket, and that's for the Divinity game that they re-released.
Did you ever get that?
I haven't got it yet.
Oh, my God.
I have not caught it. But
after all that talk.
I know, man. I got to get on there. It's so much to do. But the, what was it? Divinity?
Original Sin?
Original Sin.
Enhanced Edition.
That's right. The Original Sin Enhanced Edition. Got a 9.5 out of 10 on N4G, Game Scouts, a couple other places. Said the thing wasn't just a reskinning of an old game.
It sounded like they put quite a bit of work into it.
They got a completely updated story, new voice actors. Like they said it feels like a brand new game. It got better console support. So, you know, you can play it on your Xbox One or your PlayStation 4.
Right on.
And it got gamepad support. They said it's a little weird playing it with gamepad.
Oh, I bet.
But you can do it. This is something I did not know. The entire reboot was funded by Kickstarter.
What the fuck, really?
Yeah, it's like the most successful Kickstarter game right now to date. The thing looks gorgeous. They threw it up and said, hey, if we reworked everything on here, you know, would you guys like it? And it got funded, and it did a really good job.
That's crazy, dude, because it probably got funded by people who bought the original game.
Right.
So those people bought the original game, then gave money to Kickstarter with the... Essentially giving money to Kickstarter, you're promising that company that you're going to buy the final product.
Yeah, you're pre-ordering.
Yeah.
Just way in advance.
So that's $60 game, fucking $120 plus however much I'd be curious to see what the average amount donated on Kickstarter was. But
I wonder if
that's a healthy amount of dough that you got stacked up in a single game.
I wonder if they do like when you do Kickstarters for other products, you get a
get the product like you donated $60, so you'll get the game when it comes out,
right?
Or some shit like that.
That would be fairer than just getting like, thanks for funding this. You're not going to get any of the profits, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's really no different than pre-ordering. That pre-ordering thing is almost just like fronting companies money.
Right.
So it's like, you're essentially an investor at that point. And that's...
At least pre-order, you're doing it when the game is mostly finished instead of...
Well, I guess at that point, you're investing in the fucking DLC that you're going to bitch about that comes out a week after the game comes out.
So tired of that microtransactions and DLC.
Yeah.
It's driving me nuts. But that's all I've got for this week, man.
Yeah, man. That's it for me. I appreciate everybody listening. Yeah, Facebook notifications, all that stuff, Twitter followers, all of that stuff. Dude, we really... pretty beside myself when I see that people are actually even listening to this. So thank you to everybody. Thank you for your support. And yeah, that's it.
All right, guys. We will see you next Monday. Talk to you later.